And welcome to Food for Thought. I'm Dee Anderson.
And I'm Laura Mangone. Good morning, America. We're living in a snow globe.
Snow globe, yes.
Oh my gosh. I know. Isn't this crazy? It's still snowing.
This is like my fourth snow day in the past 30 days in terms of, you know, I couldn't go to work.
Yeah.
And it's my nanny client texted me last night and she said, you know, we'll have to see what the roads look like tomorrow, meaning today, which is Friday. And after, you know, being home all day with the puppy.
Yeah.
I texted them, I will get there.
Come hell or high water.
Or not. Yeah.
So you can imagine what Don's going through with the puppy all day.
Oh my gosh. It's
hard.
It's a lot, but I don't remember this. I guess I lucked out with the only dog I've ever had really was, and we got her when she was a puppy, Gracie, was a mutt from a rescue. And very typical puppy behavior. And, you know, she would get the crazies a little bit and the biting and the, but an Australian Shepherd is like times 100.
Exactly.
And they're constantly engaging you.
Yep.
Constantly jumping. And then when they get overtired, they're nipping at you and barking. And it's like, I mean, sometimes I picked her up to go downstairs and take her outside. And I had Don's jacket on. I came in and he said, well, let me take your jacket off. And I said, no, I liked it as it's my protective armor. Against this effing puppy.
Cause she's a nipper.
She's a nipper. And we have to, you know, nip that one in the bud, so to speak.
But when it's a puppy, it's, you know, that's
it's hard. We have to stick our fingers down her throat, and I can't do that. Only Don can do that. I stand up and go, you know, it's like, but it's got to stop because it's, for me, it's actually kind of stressful. Like I just feel like I got to get out of here. And
right.
I feel bad for Don that he's bearing the brunt of all this. And probably if I knew it was going to be this intense, I wouldn't have been pushing it, but
Here you are.
Here we are. But before we start the show, we do have some food things to talk about eventually. Yep. I have my birria that I made last week, and I'll go over it again. I did do a vegan version. You did paella.
Yep. And also something in the crock pot that was unexpectedly delicious. Something I sort of just threw together.
I wanted to start because it's such a, I think we have touched on this, but now I'm actually living it. So I wanted to touch on, at least for the first segment, the ketogenic diet.
Mm-hmm.
Now you had said, I was explaining to you why I'm going through the process of trying it. I've been struggling with weight gain for about 7 years I really wasn't able to look at that number because I knew it wasn't going to be a number I wanted to see. No matter what I did to make my weight go the other way, nothing worked.
And
right. In the past, the things I did worked, and it was incredibly frustrating. Well, I finally saw the number, and it was this huge number, which I kind of knew it would be, but I guess seeing it was really tough.
Mm-hmm.
So I've decided to do a little ketogenic, and I'll tell you what, I don't know if it's going to last.
Right.
But, it's fun.
Well,
it's so much fat, but I'm not doing the bad fats. I know before you shake your head and say, oh, you can't do that. You got to do Noom. It's not healthy, blah, blah, blah. I know I've heard it all before, but I'm not doing like a lot of these menus. They call for, you know, T-bone steaks and bacon. And I'm just not doing that.
Right.
I'm not having sausage. But what I will do is I'll take a couple tablespoons of coconut oil and add it to my salmon.
Right.
Not that the salmon needs any more oil, but it just makes it easier to eat, to consume the coconut oil.
Right.
And I will eat whole avocados, you know, to get to my fat requirement, because basically your fat is 80% of your diet. Your 20 to 30 is protein. And
I mean, I know a lot of people that have done it on and off.
Yeah.
Most have done it pretty strictly and then stopped because they, number one, couldn't do it or were feeling the effects in their health. because it's, you know, it's really not, you don't have any fresh fruit. You don't have a lot of, you know, it's really a lot of fat, and it switches your whole body from burning carbs to burning fat.
But I mean, if it's fat is the thing that I have to burn right now. Right. And in theory, couldn't I just, you know, lose a little weight in this way and then gradually go back to a more optimal, you know,
yeah, of course,
you can intake. I mean, I tend to do very low carb anyway, so it wasn't a big shift for me.
Right.
It was just, I was doing low carb and low fat.
Yeah.
And now I'm trying to do low carb and high fat.
Well, you're gonna see. I mean, you're gonna do it. I do know that a lot of the reports are that it's just, you know, it's a strain on your liver, it's a strain on your kidneys, it's a strain on, you know, your gallbladder. It's not great for your body physically.
Yeah.
From a doctor's point of view.
Yeah. I mean,
but a lot of people do it. You know, if weight loss is your goal.
There's also, I mean, there's some health benefit claims out there. I mean, it's not like there's, you know, people that are potentially, you know, with diabetes or, you know, lowering your blood pressure, or, you know, there's some that say that there are good things that can happen. I think if you take it to the extreme and you do it for too long, there's probably bad things that can happen.
Right. Well, you'll see.
I'll find out.
You will see.
It's kind of fun to have like twice the calories that I was having and actually lose weight.
Yeah. But you can't, like, can you have like whole, I don't think you can have grains, right? You can't have whole grains.
No.
What about vegetables?
You can have as many green vegetables as you want.
Okay. And dairy? No dairy.
Yeah. I mean, yogurt, because it's got there's a protein component.
Right.
It's big on telling you to just have glasses of milk, but like Greek yogurt, because that could be a protein source.
Right.
Cheese, you know, yeah, definitely as much cheese as you want, which I'm, you know, even with that, I'm not buying into that too much. I'm trying to keep my fats to avocado, olive oil, and coconut oil.
Okay. That's certainly better than, you know, the people that I know that have been on it who have just been like, you know, eating bacon, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And
yeah. And I never bought into that back when Atkins first came out. Mm-hmm. I think I did it for, you know, for a while and it was fun. But over time, I thought this can't be good, you know, just because you can consume something because it fits within the formula doesn't mean you should.
Right.
And so, you know, although I will probably when I cheat, I will cheat by doing something like that, which technically that's just a cheat against my sense of health.
Right.
Not a cheat against the diet. So if I want to cheat and have a T-bone steak, I will do that with joy. With
glee. Right.
But I'm not going to load up my freezer with bacon, sausage, and steak. I'm just not doing it.
Right.
I will keep you posted if it.
All right. Works. It's a journey. We're on a journey.
That's right.
So speaking of cheating, yesterday being a snow day, I don't know why I find myself just in this whenever all these snowstorms we've been having have been not great for my diet, because when it's snowing, all I want to do is cook and all I want to do is eat.
Wow.
And yesterday I made for the first time, honestly, probably the first time in about 5 years, I made pancakes. We had pancakes and bacon for breakfast.
I haven't had pancakes in probably 25 years.
Yeah, no, I mean, I've had them, you know, like if we've been together with people and we've gone maybe a day after a party or something and we've gone out to a diner, you know, I've had it. I'll have an omelet with a pair, steal somebody's pancake. But we made pancakes. Mario and I ate a pound of bacon yesterday.
Nice.
Yeah. We were sitting on the counter all day long. We were snacking away at it. I
told you not on keto.
I made paella.
Wow.
Snacking on that. I'm completely addicted to the pretzel crisps. You know those pretzel crisps?
Oh, I used to eat those. Yeah.
The Snack Factory pretzel. I think between the two of us, we ate a whole bag yesterday.
Easy. Just yeah.
Crap. We had a crap day. We had a bad food day yesterday. We had a big old cheat day. But it's kind of good once in a while because I felt guilty about it. I mean, I was like, when I've been to bed last night, I'm like, I am so full right now. Like, I can't even imagine eating again ever.
Right.
But
let's see. What did I've started my, well, I was trying the day before, but yesterday I tried to be 100% keto.
Uh-huh.
So I had, what did I have? I had some chicken in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
Oh no, I take that back. That was the day before. I had a 3-egg omelet cooked in coconut oil.
Yum.
With Swiss cheese inside.
I mean, that sounds pretty damn good.
Okay. And so that was like, because of all the fat, it was probably like 500 calories, but 200 calories were actually from the eggs. Most of it was fat.
Right. Right.
And I knew that percentage was what they were after.
Right.
And then I honestly, because I have been eating about a little under 1,000 calories a day, and it's been hard for me because for so long I did half that. Mm-hmm. And it's actually hard for me to eat that much, believe it or not. Like,
wow.
I get like
1,200 is my day usually. So that omelet is, you know, like half my day right there.
Exactly. So when it came lunchtime, I thought, I don't know if I'm going to have enough room for dinner. So I basically forced myself to eat lunch, which was lettuce, avocado, cucumbers, radish, plenty of olive oil, like 2 tablespoons of olive oil, and half of an avocado and walnuts.
Wow.
Somehow I got that down. I mean, it was like a fat fest, right? Yeah. So now my fat,
Delicious. All you needed was a baguette with it.
I know, right? Just missing that one thing. But at dinner, Laura, I couldn't eat. I was done. So I just thought, you know what? At least I got the 1,000 in.
Right.
And I'll start again today. So, wow.
Well, yeah. I mean, I find that I do about 1,200 a day. And I have been doing Noom. Not that I'm really trying to lose weight, but it just keeps me, you know, makes me mindful of what I'm eating every day and whether it's, you know, sort of a good food or a bad food, quote unquote.
Well, you're coming from a sort of a maintenance standpoint because you did actually lose a bunch of weight on it, didn't you?
I did. I actually lost, in total, I probably lost 25 pounds.
Right.
And then I go up, I go down, but I'm in the area where I want to be.
Right.
And, obviously I just had surgery. So, you know, my energy, although I am starting to hit around 7,000 to 8,000 steps a day, which is getting back towards my, you know, I'm usually trying to be around 10. I'm certainly not doing as much exercise as I used to do. I used to be doing Pilates classes a couple of times a week. I am still doing stretching classes every morning and I've been going to physical therapy. So I'm still active, but not to the degree that I used to be. You know, I'm still recuperating. I'm week 8 after surgery. So I still have another 4 weeks of when my body is technically quote unquote healing. They say up until 12 weeks, you know, you're still recovering from surgery. I unfortunately have this thing going on with my sciatic, which I told you, you know, I was hoping it was going to go away after the surgery and it hasn't. So, one of my x-rays showed that my spine is really, I have a curvature. So I went to see a spine doctor this past week and next week was supposed to be my last week of physical therapy for my hip, but now I'm going to be going to physical therapy for my back.
Oh, great.
Yeah. So I've got something going on. I have to go for an MRI. He wants to take a look more closely, but I've got, and it turns out so do two of my three siblings also have lower back issues, lumbar issues.
Okay.
Runs in the family.
So you haven't been, because of this surgery, you haven't been sticking to...
Well, I mean, I haven't been jumping around. I haven't been doing, you know, I'm doing... Right. I've been active, but obviously not to the level that I used to be.
Right.
You know, I'm not doing my Pilates classes a couple of times a week. I'm not doing any like jumping around or even low impact aerobic stuff. Right. I'll get to it. I'll get to it eventually, but
you still have a bunch of paid for them, actually, classes for my Zumba.
Oh, Zumba. Well, yeah, I'll get back to it at some point.
You know, I have a friend that when we come back, we're about to go to break. We are going to talk food. I'm going to talk about my birria, my success with birria, and Laura's going to have a couple of things to talk about. But my mom. Anyway, yes.
Did you just lose your train of thought? I saw that in person.
So wait. No, I was watching some food videos this morning. Yes, we're running out of time. And one was with Cameron Diaz. Like, these are the food videos that stars put up on Instagram. And holy shiitake, are they bad?
Really?
Oh, my God.
I think she did a whole book about weight, didn't she, Cameron Diaz?
Oh, yeah, I guess. But, you know. Yeah. God bless her, but when we come back, we'll talk about some actual food stories.
We'll talk about it when we come back.
Not attorney spokesperson. Are you over the age of 60 and been diagnosed with lung cancer? If so, you and your family may qualify for a cash award. Our experienced attorneys are standing by to evaluate whether you have a lung cancer claim that qualifies you for a cash award. The consultation is absolutely free, and there is no risk and no money out of pocket. We only receive a fee when we secure you and your family a settlement. 250,000 people are diagnosed with lung cancer every year. You're not alone in this battle. We can help make sure that you and your family are financially safe and that medical expenses are covered. Again, if you've been diagnosed with lung cancer and are over age 60, call now. Don't delay. There are deadlines for filing claims. We're standing by 24/7. Call us at 1-855-398-1754. 1-855-398-1754. That's 1-855-398-1754. Attorney Advertising. William Stephacker Jr. is the attorney responsible for this ad. Main office, Granton, Pennsylvania. May not be available in all states.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for Viagra? Well, we have great news. Now you can finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Generic Sildenafil allows you to save up to $650 on Viagra. Why pay name brand prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get the same results for less than $3 a pill? Call today and get 50 generic Sildenafil pills for only $99. This can cost as much as $750 at your local pharmacy. You can't afford not to call us. If you want Viagra at the lowest prices, never pay $15 a pill for the name brand again. Get generic Sildenafil for less than $3 a pill. Call 800-590-0443 today and save up to $650 and get 50 pills for just $99. Generic Sildenafil is fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting to take your call now. Call 800-590-0443. That's 800-590-0443. Again, 800-590-0443.
Welcome back to Food for Thought.
And we're back.
We're back. So food.
Food.
You start so, paella.
Yeah, I made a quick paella yesterday. I don't use my paella. I actually have a beautiful paella pan that was my aunt's. She lived in Madrid for a while and used to have paella parties at my mom's house every summer. So it was a big, really big part of my youth. We always had paella parties. My sister-in-laws both make it all the time. Actually, my one sister-in-law, you know, has this giant paella pan, and she does it like out in the back on a fire pit. It's mm-hmm. awesome. Mm-hmm. I don't get that involved in it. I do it in my giant Le Creuset. Uh-huh. And I mean, the method is basically what you would be doing if you were doing it outside, which is the traditional way to do it outside over fire. It's, you know, browning chicken, setting that to the side, sauteing onions and peppers, and usually pimentos, although I didn't put any pimentos in it this time. Garlic. Then you put your chicken back in, you mix your rice in, you let it cook for a bit, and then you put in all your shellfish. I'm sorry, I left out the most important part, which is the chorizo. When you're mm-hmm. sauteing the onions and peppers and garlic, you put in
and
a
your
ton
tomato,
of
tomato product.
I don't put tomato product in mine.
You don't?
No, a Valenciana doesn't have tomato product in it.
Huh.
Mm-mm. Nope. And I put clams, mussels, and shrimp. Mm-hmm. Obviously, you know, you can put Spanish version. If you're making it mariscada, you can put lobster. You can put all types of squid, all sorts of seafood in it. And mm-hmm. I just make it in my big giant, my cauldron, mm-hmm. as Mario calls it. It's just a giant Le Creuset. Yes, there's saffron in it, and my saffron I steep, and then my aunt used to just sprinkle the dry saffron in, but I steep it, and then I use that broth when I'm putting the other broth into it, mm-hmm. and it's delicious, and it's great, and I love it, and I basically ate it all day yesterday with my pretzels and bacon.
Yeah, I mean, the paella version that I've done for years for catering, if you're not making a big, and I have been to paella parties where that's, you know, it's over the fire pit, there's a yep. giant paella pan,
yep.
And it's constant stirring. So the rice goes in at an uncooked state, mm-hmm. and it's constant stirring with all the broth and the juices from the fish, you know, that gets soaked up by the rice, and that's what cooks the rice.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a constant stirring process. So,
well, no, at one point you do cover it and let it.
At one point, yeah, but there's there's plenty of stirring. So I guess for catering jobs, what I would do is I would make the base,
mm-hmm.
and then I would cook the rice, and I would bring that to the job. And then when I was about to serve, that's when I would throw my rice in with all of the juices, finish it off. But it's technically not the right method, because the rice should be cooked from a rot in the broth. So it's technically, it's not incorporating as much of the broth and flavor, but it mm-hmm. works just fine. And,
yeah, absolutely.
But I would like to get, what is it when, I know we've talked about this when we've talked about paella before, but what is that skin that forms on the bottom of the paella pan?
It's called concon. Yeah.
Concon.
And that crispy, almost burnt crust on the bottom.
Right. And everybody eats it like, oh, this is so awesome. And really the chef is standing there going, I effing burned it, people.
I know. Exactly. Yep.
Gave it a good name.
Yep, exactly right.
But I effing burned it. Okay.
Yep.
And just like back, it reminds me of when you screw up as a chef, never admit it. And
because people think it's fabulous, and they think
make believe it was your intent.
Exactly.
So I remember at one job doing, I had like some kind of Brazilian coconut shrimp, and I did it with wild rice, so it was black rice. And you know, when you sometimes when you cook rice in big quantities, it winds up as a total like ball of solid, like sticky, heart ridiculous rice,
right?
So I just called it black sticky rice, and everybody's like, "Ooh, black sticky rice." I'm like, no, I
oh my gosh,
totally screwed up the rice, but you just bought it.
That's hysterical.
So they all bought it. But anyway, so that's a nice sort of classic paella recipe. you know, in terms of it's good. I think the classic has includes a chicken and the chorizo and then whatever seafood you put in it.
Mostly, yeah, I mean, you can shellfish. Have, you know, you, if you, you're making Valenciana, it generally has chicken and seafood, but you also can have just seafood, you know, no chicken. But almost right. always it still has the chorizo in it. I love it. I could eat it every day. Absolutely love it.
So did you ever, my cooking last weekend was the birria, which I made with
right
chuck steak. And so just to, last week we were talking, I was planning on making it. It's, and I did a nice combination this time for my vegan clients, but I'll start with, okay, the version I did with beef. Uh-huh. It's got roasted poblano peppers. It's got toasted cajillo. I'm trying to remember the pronunciation or the spelling, but it's,
I think it's cajillo.
Cajillo, those big dried Mexican chili peppers.
Yep.
So the recipe called for cutting those in half and then roasting them in a pan. Mm-hmm. You know, just getting them toasty and then pouring hot water over them so the liquid would reconstitute the pepper. Now, I didn't have that. For whatever reason, I couldn't get them in ShopRite. So I took some crushed red pepper flakes and I toasted them in the frying pan. And the second time I did it, I actually toasted them with gochugaru, which is the Korean dried peppers that you use for kimchi. So they've got a bright red color, which I thought would be good. And also there's a sweetness to them. And I thought it would be a nice balance with the pepper. So I toasted them just in the frying pan. Be careful because if it starts smoking and really taking over your kitchen,
you can't breathe.
Can't breathe.
So you asphyxiate yourself.
Yes. And actually one of my little baby kids was like coughing when they came into the kitchen. I was like, oh no.
You're going to poison them.
Poison. And then what was, I think, most interesting for this Mexican dish was the fact that it had lots of chopped fresh ginger in this mm-hmm. recipe, and also a little bit of cinnamon, plenty of cumin and tomato product, and a right. little bit of white vinegar,
okay. you know, maybe
tablespoons. So you take this, you puree all of the solid stuff,
mm-hmm.
and then you pour it over your meat, or I did a vegan version with the sauteed chunks of tempeh.
Uh-huh.
And then you pour water in it just enough to bring it to give it a soupy consistency so that you can simmer it
right
in the oven for 2 hours.
Right.
Serve it with, then you put, serve with lime wedges and cilantro and corn tortillas.
Right.
So I didn't have any corn tortillas. We used rice. It was fine, but really delicious. Really
good.
An excellent flavor. Definitely making it again.
Good.
I think this time I'm going to do...
I would love to have it with the lamb, which I think is one of the traditions, right? Is
yes.
they do it with lamb
yeah,
or goat,
beef,
right?
Beef, goat, or lamb. And mm-hmm. I did look in ShopRite in the freezer section for the goat.
Did you find it?
About. No, didn't have it. Didn't have it at my ShopRite.
Oh,
so which was fine. It was. I mean,
and
for
you
me,
looked
was,
in the freezer section by yeah. the meat. You know, yeah. not the regular freezer section.
Yeah.
Well, I'll have to grab some for you because
sure. Could you get me some?
I have seafood broth in my seafood better than bouillon in my car for about a year to give you.
I know.
Do a little food run.
Yeah, I would love to. I would love to get me some goat.
Well, that sounds delicious.
Yeah, it was.
And
really
you said
good.
It just a couple of hours.
Yeah, two hours in uh-huh. the oven. So next time I'm going to do. A chicken version, even though that's not traditional, but we like to have chicken on the bones. So
right.
I'm going to do that same, the same philosophy, but I think, and tell me what you think, because you have more experience with crock pot cooking.
Mm-hmm.
And that is, I have noticed that, you know, putting in my tomato product or broth or whatever, in a slow cooker, I tend to end up with too much liquid at the end of the
yeah.
day.
Well, know? Also because, you know, if you're not using organic chicken, our chickens are pumped with, you know, there's so much water content in them.
Right.
Right. Which I never understood why. I guess it's for preservatives.
I don't know.
it's to increase their weight.
I guess. Yeah. So that's,
yeah, you have to just a small amount of water, just even an inch in a large crock pot, depending on what you're cooking, you know, because you have to think about the water content that's coming out of your product, whether it's vegetables or protein or, you know, there's water in there as well.
So, but here's my question. So with the, when I did it with the chuck roast, which I had cubed and browned, and then you pour this puree over the meat, it's very thick.
Right.
So you kind of inherently, you want to add liquid to it because it's going to be cooking, slow cooking in the oven. Right. Now, for the crock pot, I'm wondering if I should just leave that puree alone, throw the chicken.
I would just put a little bit of water in it.
Just a little bit.
Yeah. Okay. I would put, like, how much water would you say you put in it? Did you kind of cover the roast or halfway up or?
Just about covered. I mean, it was, yeah, it's hard to describe because once you stir in that puree, you could kind of leave it just like that, but I brought the water up just so that the meat was kind of a little bit swimming rather
submerged
rather than just basically barely covered with the paste, you know?
Yeah. So, I think if you were doing it in a crock pot, I probably would just put maybe an inch of water.
Right. Yeah. Right. Or half the amount that I used.
For especially because, you know, in crock, even if you're doing something in the oven, even if it's covered, there's a moisture escaping in the crock pot. Most crock pots, actually my crock pot, has a rubber gasket around the lid.
Right.
So all of those juices are staying in there. Nothing's evaporating.
Right. Where I guess even in an oven or stovetop, when you have a lid on it, it doesn't.
Yeah, there's still evaporation happening. There's still steam coming out. So that sounds absolutely delicious.
Yeah, it was really good. It was one of those things. It's like, I want to have it again. You know, the flavors were very interesting. And I love, whenever I come across it, I love, especially when you haven't heard of it, because if I come across something that I haven't heard of, I'll say, okay, Laura's probably heard of it because she has had more exposure to things. But this was one of those times where you're like, no, never heard of it.
And I have to say that a lot of our trips to Mexico have been with Karen and her husband. And Karen, being a vegetarian, generally, you know, the foods that we're having are not, you know, meat heavy.
Right.
So that would not have been something, you know, we usually stay at houses. It's not like we're going out to restaurants and we're all ordering, you know, different items.
Right. Right. You're doing.
And if we're getting something like street food, it's usually chicken or, you know, we've not come across in our travels, a birria, you know, or a barbacoa, or, you know, think about all the delicious, basically taco. Right. Things that you're putting on a tortilla.
It's funny because we so rarely eat red meat anymore. Mm-hmm. It used to be something I'd prepare for our kids, you know, when we would make dinner for the kids on the weekends.
Right.
Request steak, you know, a lot. So we would eat it once a week. Now it's every few months. And it's like, I could completely go without it. But once every few months, I'm like, let's just do it. Let's just eat steak tonight.
Same. We, growing up, my grandparents would come every Sunday and we would have it was supper, Sunday supper. So it wasn't late in the day. It was 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock. Mm-hmm. And my mom would make a roast, you know, we'd have pasta and a roast. And it always grossed me out. I've never liked red meat. And if I do eat it, it's well done, as you know.
That's right. I forgot you're well done.
No, it used to gross me out. But even now, you know, Mario and I don't eat a lot of red meat, but once in a while I want a burger, you know.
Burger is your go-to. If you have a meat craving, you go to a burger.
I would go to a burger.
Yeah, I wouldn't. I would not. I would go to my favorite steak is either hanger steak or a T-bone or something like that. But even then it's like, it's funny because if someone said, you know, if, you know, you can never have red meat again, I would say, okay. it's not like chicken. I can't say that chicken. I would have a problem with.
Same.
And I could basically be a pescatarian, but I just don't want to be. But if I had my druthers, I would be about 80% fish.
Yeah.
And maybe 20% chicken.
Yeah.
And the occasional lamb chop.
Oh, that's true. I forgot about lamb. I love lamb.
Roast, you know, occasional pork, but chicken and fish is what I'd like to do.
Right.
So I think we're getting low on time.
We are. I was just going to say, we'll be back in a few minutes.
Spokesperson. Are you over the age of 60 and been diagnosed with lung cancer? If so, you and your family may qualify for a cash award. We can help make sure that you and your family are financially safe and medical expenses are covered. If you've been diagnosed with lung cancer and are over 60, call 24/7 1-855-398-1754. 1-855-398-1754. Attorney Advertising. William Stephacker Jr. is the attorney responsible for this ad. Main office, Granton, Pennsylvania. May not be available in all states.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for Viagra? Well, we have great news. Now you can finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Generic Sildenafil allows you to save up to $650 on Viagra. Why pay name brand prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get the same results for less than $3 a pill? Call today and get 50 generic Sildenafil pills for just $99. Call 800-590-0443. That's 800-590-0443. Again, 800-590-0443.
Non-attorney paid spokesperson. Could your house go into foreclosure? Are you behind on your mortgage payments? Does it seem like the bank has no interest in helping you save your home, and you feel like you have nowhere to turn for help? Then we have good news for you. Foreclosure Protection Services can help save your home, as they specialize in foreclosure assistance. That's all they do. If you're behind on your mortgage payments, being threatened with foreclosure, have been denied a loan modification, or been the victim of a predatory loan, it's critical that you call Foreclosure Protection Services now at 800-846-3464. Their network of attorneys and their agents are available to speak to you now. If you're behind on your mortgage payments, Foreclosure Protection Services can help stop the foreclosure process. Call today before it's too late. New laws are in effect that may save your home. Call Foreclosure Protection Services now at 800-846-3464. 800-846-3464. That's 800-846-3464.
And welcome back. We're back.
Welcome back. We're back. So you have a delicious...
I have a something I pot. Threw together the other day in the crock pot. I really do love my crock pot. If I have a busy day, just throw stuff in it in the morning. And there is nothing better than 4:30 when I walk in the door that the house smells delicious and dinner's ready.
I know. It is a great thing. I'm glad I overcame my crock pot snobbery, which was for Susie Homemaker types, not me.
Exactly. I felt the same way for the longest time. It made me think of, you know, my next door neighbor growing up, who it was always, you know, like meatloaf and chicken tetrazzini and tuna noodle cast, like, you know, things that were like 70s food.
Right.
Always in the crock pot. Anyway, so I had my physical therapy. I guess this was on Thursday. I had physical therapy, and then I was going to see this new doctor about this sciatic issue I'm having. So it was going to be a long day. I had some running around to do. So I basically, what I've been noticed I've been doing during COVID is there's one day of the week. I mean, aside from when I'm going into Uncle Joe, there's one day of the week that I just put all of, I jam pack my schedule with everything I need to do, whether it's in town, out of town, picking things up, dropping things off. Cause still, although we didn't go to Guatemala this year, I'm still collecting donations. So, you know, right. Still driving around. I'm still, you know, I have one day of the week where I'm crazy busy. Mm-hmm. And that's usually the day that I'm using my crock pot. So,
and what, you know, what's interesting about it too, I think it's also, I mean, you could do a low and slow at the same temperature that a crock pot cooks. You could do that in your oven, but there's something about, yeah. I don't feel comfortable leaving the house for 6 hours with while my oven's on, but I feel okay with the crock pot on, you know, it just feels a little yeah. safer. I don't know.
I mean, I don't know that. I mean, I have put things in my oven. I mean, because we live so close to, you know, the stores that I generally shop at, I have put things in the oven and, like, you know, went to the store and came back and, but not yeah. for, you know, 6 hours
not
again.
Not for six same. Hours. Yeah. yeah. So it's like, we could probably do that if we kept it low enough, but
we
I
could.
Feel better with the crock pot. It's safe. It's,
yeah.
It's, yeah. you know, it's contained.
Exactly.
That's another appealing
exactly.
factor.
Exactly. So I, before this day, so I guess it was on Wednesday, I was in a cleaning out my cupboards mood. So I was in my pantry, I have a pantry closet with, you know, stuff that's been canned goods that have been in there for, you know, probably since we moved in. So a mm-hmm. lot of years. Mm-hmm. And I had in the back of the cupboard, two cans of something that I actually think is pretty good. I'm sidetracking. Many years ago, well, not many years ago, but every year for the staff at Chambers Walk, I would have a summer party. We always have a Christmas party, but I used to have summer parties all the time. And generally, I would enlist someone that was like a food truck person mm-hmm. to do the food. And one year I had this man from Trenton who does like soul food. So it was, you know, fried catfish and fried chicken and okra, mac and cheese, you know, a pretty typical Southern soul food menu. And he had the most delicious collard greens. And I asked him for the recipe. I said, you know, the seasoning in here is amazing. There's just something. I really, really love these collards. And he said, well, you're going to laugh at me, but I start with a canned product. And there is a canned product that is seasoned, Creole seasoned collard greens.
What?
Yep. And to that, it's in like the vegetable section and you can buy like a number 10 can of it. You can buy, you know, smaller cans. And he starts with that product and then he puts fresh collards into it. But that sort of is the base of his collards that he serves.
Now, where is his? I'm
He's
sorry.
He's a soul food. He has a soul food truck in Trenton. And this is many
okay.
years ago.
Well,
so I don't know if
I
he's
love-
still in business.
Okay. Well, I love stories like this because you run into some, you know, let's say you have, these are the best collard greens I ever had. Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then you find out the recipe and instead of, and it's being completely transparent. It's like, yeah. oh, I start with a number 10 can
yes.
of collard greens and then I add fresh. And sometimes these dishes by far, somehow they become the best collard greens you've ever
I'm
had,
telling
even though
you.
You're starting with a product that's pre-made.
I love collard greens. And I, you know, whenever we're in the southern states, like if we're in Florida or New Orleans, or I love collards and I love the seasonings that are used in them because it's like sassafras and, you know, like right. real Creole flavorings.
Right.
So he starts with this product. And I will try to go dig out the can. It's probably still in the recycling bin and I'll post the picture of it. So he starts with, you know, a couple of giant number 10 cans. And then depending on, you know, if he's feeding 50 people or whatever, he chops up fresh collards and cooks it in this pre-packaged item. So I found it, and I had a bunch of cans of it, and I had one lone can in the back of the cupboard when I was cleaning out my pantry. So the other day, you know, as I said, I had all these appointments and I was going to be running around. So I had, and the other thing I love about the crock pot is you can just, yes, we've talked about browning things first and the layers of flavor and the color right. that it adds, right. but you can also just take a lot of frozen stuff and just throw it in there.
You can, yes.
And so it I had,
you don't necessarily lose that much, in my opinion. I mean, yes, yeah. there's nuances of caramelization that you're going to lose and yes. all that stuff, but it's still pretty darn good.
It was, I'm telling you, let me tell you what this was in this. So when I do cooking for Uncle Joe, and we have talked about this on the show in the past, you know, if you have an excess of sauce left, you know, I always freeze it and I'm using it the next time I make that batch of whatever it is, whether it's porcini right. sauce or cacciatore sauce.
It becomes mother.
Yeah, exactly.
Doesn't it?
Yeah.
It becomes mother.
So I had a container of, I had a frozen quart container of cacciatore sauce. I had a plastic bag that had four chicken thighs frozen. I had a plastic bag that had two chicken breasts frozen. And I had, I guess a while ago when Annie's kids were here, they were all making martinis. So I had a couple of different jars of olives.
Okay.
So, you know, like half jars of olives out in the garage refrigerator. Mm-hmm. So I literally put these hunks of frozen chicken thighs, breasts. I put the frozen container of cacciatore sauce. I emptied.
I love stuff like this.
I know. Three half jars of mostly green olives. Some had pimentos in them. Some were, you know, just not pitted. Another one was just Spanish olives. Threw those in. And I threw in this can of these seasoned collard greens.
Mm.
I am telling you what. It was delicious. It was so good that I need to replicate it. I mean, need to like write it down because it was so delicious.
And I've done stuff like this, Laura. We've both done it a million times where you just are like, okay, pantry. Okay. That door on the kitchen, you know, that in the
fridge,
refrigerator that has half open everything. You say, okay, today y'all get used up.
Exactly.
Okay? And sometimes when you do something like that, whether it be a marinade or a spice blend or whatever,
or a chicken dish,
you wind up with something amazing. And it's so funny because people are like, what do you put in it? You're like, what didn't I put in it? Like everything was open in my refrigerator.
Exactly.
You
know? Exactly. It was so delicious.
Chicken and then the leftover cacciatore sauce, which I'm sure was fortified and had been cooked with other, you know, with a chicken prior. And then so more chicken to that. And then
olives,
which you basically cleaned out your cupboard, your refrigerator by using the olives, and a can of collard greens.
Seasoned collard greens. I have to go dig it out of the recycling bin and I'll post a picture of it. I'm telling you, these collard greens are delicious. I could just eat that. Like just a bowl of those.
Just the canned version.
So without- good.
And, did you add any fresh? Did you add any fresh?
I did not because I was just, you know, it was 6 o'clock in the morning and I was going to be running around all day. I was just trying to see what I had in the cupboards. Had I, you know, planned this meal, I would have added more fresh collards. It was really, really delicious. And I love those. I love when you throw stuff together and it turns out really deliciously. I used to do it all the time. When we had the cafe on Palmer Square and, you know, I was making all sorts of cakes and desserts and I would have leftover this buttercream and this filling and that, you know, I would just throw them all together, whether I had a carrot cake base or a, you know, a white cake. And I would just go crazy with all the leftover fillings or buttercreams or. It almost was like the cupcakes that you see now that are, you know, everything's filled at Magnolia Bakery, you know, all those crazy cupcakes that have, you know, interesting fillings and buttercreams and and 9 times out of 10, that would be the cake or the product that people would be like, oh my God, this is delicious. Tell me when you're going to make this again. Meanwhile, I've just like cleaned out the refrigerator, so I don't know if I can replicate it exactly.
It happens constantly to me. I'll have a client right now. It's just my nanny client. And they'll say, oh, that thing that you made last night with the pasta and the artichoke and the, oh my God, can you mark that down as one of our favorites? And I'm like, oh shit. And you know, I'm like,
I put in it.
Sitting there scratching my head going, what the freak did I put in that?
Exactly.
I've got to like quickly write it down because I don't write every single one down. I don't know that every single one's going to be.
I don't write anything down.
And so, you know, it's like, okay, God, what did I do? And sitting there and going, okay, I know I did white wine. I know I did garlic. Yeah. I know I did, you know, and trying to remember what you did, because sometimes people go nuts over something that you just, you know, didn't think.
Threw together. My sister just told me this yesterday. She had some ravioli in the freezer and she just wanted to throw together a quick sauce. And she said, you know, she onions, garlic, a can of tomatoes, mushrooms. I think she had porcinis that she dehydrated. And then she had like a little thing of frozen pesto left over. She threw that in. And she was like, it was the best sauce I ever made. Like, it was delicious.
Right. Right. You never know when you're going to have one of those hits.
Exactly.
And sometimes you think you're going to have such a, like, ooh, this is going to be great. And you taste it. And just like I told my client that you and I are both, or I think probably most chefs, unless they're totally arrogant and full of themselves, but when there's the times where you have your guests or your clients gushing over something and the bubble above your head as a chef says, yeah, it was all right.
Yeah, it was okay.
You don't, to be gracious, to be a gracious host or chef, you say, thank you.
Yes, but, you absolutely. Know, I'm so happy you enjoyed it.
So happy you enjoyed it. But inside you're like, you know, I get what you're saying, but I wish it was this, or I think it's a little too spicy. Or I think
I just threw that together and it was no big deal.
Yeah, and it's not to me, it's like, blah, you know, but right. There are times, and my client thought this was so funny. And I said, but then there are times where you know that you nailed it.
Yeah.
Like, and you even pleased yourself.
Absolutely.
It's not just for other people. You're actually wowing yourself.
Absolutely.
And that's when people, and they comment that they love it. And that's where you go, I know, right? I know, right?
I know.
Freaking nailed
it. Really
it.
Good. I'm so happy you loved it.
That's right. Because I did too.
Yeah. I cannot believe it's still, I cannot believe it's still snowing.
I know.
I mean, this is like, we're going on over 20 hours of snow here.
I know. I don't even want to look out the window because I am going to make it to work no matter what. I don't care if it takes me 2 hours.
Well, it's super, super, super icy.
Is it?
It's like everything is covered here anyway. You may be far enough north that yours just stayed snow, but ours in the middle of the night, well, middle of the night, like 11 o'clock, midnight, which is not the middle of the night for most people. It was ice. It was like sleeting. So on top of the snow, there's like a giant crust. Like our driveway that was plowed is now a sheet of ice. So
really,
be careful.
All right. Yeah. I'm going to have to see because I mean, if it's too icy, I'm not going to have any control with my car and I'm not going to do it.
Yeah. I mean, anyway, I'm sure the main roads will be fine because they will have salted. I mean, we have to be thankful for what we're getting right now. Have you seen on the news what's going down on in Texas? Like there's so many people without power. I have friends down there and, you know, some of them don't have power. My sister-in-law's family, some of them don't have power.
Well, they should just go to Cancun.
Ha ha ha. Ha ha. note to Ted Cruz.
Go to Cancun, you dummy.
But the thing is, it's not like when we lose power in the winter, their houses are not built for it. So, you know, I have a really good friend who has a lovely home and his pipes are freezing because they don't insulate their pipes the way we do.
Right. Well, I guess they should start now.
Yeah, I guess. All right, my friend, we are out of time.
Yes, yes, yes. So, so good. I'm glad you told me that your let's call it your one of your kitchen sink recipes.
Kitchen sink. Yep.
Put everything but the kitchen sink, and it was a huge hit. So maybe
Absolutely.
You should even on the post on the post for Facebook put the recipe. Okay.
No.
Okay. Or not.
All right. So we are out of time, my friends. We will see you next time on Food for Thought.
Bye.